Going to read out of Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Lord, we just thank you for our gathering today, Lord. We thank you that you are here, that you want to train us and teach us. And Lord, we ask that you would work through Neil as he presents your word and his message to us today, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and carve it in our hearts, Lord, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, you may have noticed that Pastor Don and Eileen are not here. They're taking a vacation. They're using their pastor appreciation gift we gave them back in October. So they're in
McLeod.
McLeod Inn. Yeah.
They said it was beautiful, quiet, and they think they're the only ones there.
How come you heard from them? Okay, I'm glad they're having a good time. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Pastor Don and Eileen. Just give them a wonderful time up in McLeod, and just give them great sightseeing opportunities, and just give them a restful time and bring them back refreshed. And we just appreciate them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I read a book called Do I Know God? By Tullian Chavijan, a grandson of Billy Graham. He speaks of God's faithfulness. He writes, and I quote, "The Bible teaches that faith is an exercise of reasonable trust in a God who is really there and has proved himself to be completely trustworthy. In fact, it would be utterly unreasonable and irrational not to trust in someone who has proved himself to be infinitely dependable. The whole Bible bears witness to the reality that God has been, is now, and will always be trustworthy, trustful, truthful, and worthy of our trust. We may not always understand what God is doing or why he is doing it, but we have no reason to doubt him." Unquote. Well, with that quote, I started to investigate God's faithfulness. Does the Bible teach that faith is an exercise of reasonable trust in a God who is really there? And has God proved himself to be completely trustworthy? How has God been faithful? What does the Bible say about his faithfulness? Is his faithfulness dependent on how we respond to him? Is he faithful when I pray for something and it doesn't happen? When he has me go through difficult trials, is he faithful? Well, we will see that the Bible teaches that God is faithful in all he does. Faithfulness is one of God's characteristics. And we will see that even though we don't understand why God is doing something that we don't like, he is faithful. Well, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness has to do with being reliable, trustworthy, true to one's word, dependable. Faithfulness refers to the quality of being faithful and loyal. For a married couple, faithfulness means to stand by their spouse and don't cheat. For a patriotic person, faithfulness means being loyal to his or her country, no matter what is going on or who is in charge. For someone who has worked at a company for a very long time, that person has been faithful. People can be faithful to ideas, a religion, a political view, sports teams. I am faithful to the 49ers, win or lose. They will always be my team. And I am faithful to the San Francisco Giants. Win or lose, they will always be the team that I root for. And I am faithful to these teams because I grew up following those teams. Well, what is the faithfulness of God? How is God faithful? Who is he loyal to? Does he stick to a group of people no matter what? Well, let's look at God's faithfulness through the ages. We will look at God's faithfulness from generation to generation. For it says in Psalm 100, verse 5, that Kevin read, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations." Abram, later called Abraham, was promised by God in Genesis 12 to show him the land he was to go to make him into a great nation, to bless him, to make his name great, to be a blessing, and in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country." Oh, there we go. "And from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Well, Abram left his family and set out without knowing where he was going to go. Being led by the Lord, he set out for the land of Canaan. And Genesis 12 says, he came to the land of Canaan, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Well, Abram was 75 years old when God made his promises to him. When he was 86 years old, still waiting for God's promise of a child, his wife Sarah gave him her slave to have a child with. She conceived and bore Abram a son, Ishmael. Even though Abram did it his way to fulfill God's promise, in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5, God tells Abram, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be named Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." Well, it wasn't until Abraham was 100 years old when God allowed Sarah, his wife, who was 90 years old, to conceive a child, her first son, even though she was well beyond childbearing age. Genesis 21, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the son whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." So Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for God to start to fulfill his promise of having descendants. That was a long, very long time for them to wait. In Genesis 21, verse 7, 17. God told Abraham, because of his obedience, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of your enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Well, we see that God promised to greatly bless him and all the nations of the earth and greatly multiply his descendants. Furthermore, God promised that his descendants would take possession of the cities of their enemies. Now, Isaac married Rebekah. And in Genesis 25, it says in verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. And the Lord answered him, and his wife Rebekah conceived. So she gave birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. Well, eventually, Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of one of the tribes, the tribe of Judah, Jesus the Messiah was born, bringing the blessing of salvation to all nations, both Jews and Gentiles. The promise God made to Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, that he would be the father of a great multitude of nations, applies to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior would become Abraham's descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, an angel appeared to some shepherds tending their sheep, frightening them. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." 2 Corinthians 1, 18 to 20. "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but has been yes in him. For as many as the promises of God are in him, they are yes. Therefore, through him also is our amen, to the glory of God through us." Well, we see God's faithfulness in action over a very, very long period of time. And Abraham may not have seen the fulfillment of God's promises, but he knew and he saw enough to trust in his faithfulness. Well, from this example, from the time that God made his promises to Abraham to the time his son Jesus was born, and even to now, we see what God's faithfulness looks like. The fact that we see God's faithfulness over a very, very long period of time, from generation to generation, says a lot to me. Being faithful is one of his characteristics, one of his attributes, who he is. In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, it says that he is abounding in faithfulness and truth, who keeps faithfulness for thousands. And Psalm 36, 5 says that his mercy and faithfulness are limitless. They extend to the heavens and reach the skies. We saw that with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah when they could not conceive. God, through his mercy and faithfulness, made it happen. God will not go back on his promises, becoming unfaithful, even when we are not faithful. There were times Abraham doubted God's faithfulness because he took so long to give him even one descendant, because he thought God had forgotten him. So he took matters into his own hands. He took Hagar, his wife's handmaiden, and she conceived and bore him a son. But that wasn't God's plan to fulfill his promise. 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul wrote that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness is not dependent on how faithful we are. If we mess up, he is faithful to forgive us and remain faithful. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There were times when God tested Abraham to help him grow in his faith in him. God is faithful to help us grow and mature in him. James 1, verses 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Well, we see that because of God's faithfulness, he is unchanging. His character does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, God was faithful to stick to his plan of salvation by keeping his promises made to Abraham to bring about his numerous descendants. Psalm 33:11 says, the plan of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. From just these promises God made to Abraham and seeing how he fulfilled these promises, we can say that the whole Bible bears witness to the reality that God has been truthful, faithful, and worthy of our trust. Can we say that God is faithful even now? Is he even worthy of our trust now? All I can say is that he has been faithful in my life. He has shown me that he is faithful, worthy of my trust. When I was growing up, going through grammar school and high school, I thought I was a good person, worthy of going to heaven, because I thought my good things had outweighed the bad things I had done. But as each year passed, I started doubting that I was good enough. I wasn't so sure if the good things outweighed the bad. In college, my first year, I met a guy who had questions about God. And we became good friends, and we are good friends even now. And we had some discussions about God, searching for answers. And when summer came, we went our separate ways. In the fall, in our sophomore year, we got back together. And he informed me that he had accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He told me that I didn't need to be afraid about where I was going to go when I died. It wasn't by any of my good works that was going to get me to heaven, but only by believing and trusting in Jesus' work on the cross. None of my good works could pay the penalty for my bad things. God required someone who led a perfect life to pay the penalty, And the one who led a perfect life was Jesus. That's why Jesus came to earth, to be the perfect sacrifice that God required, to pay the penalty, to save us from his wrath. And by dying on the cross, he made a way for us to be saved. And by rising from the dead 3 days later, he proved to us that he was and is God, able to save us. God was faithful. He brought me to the right person who would witness to me, share the gospel with me. Eventually, I accepted what Jesus did for me. It took me a while to grow and mature my trust in him. He remained faithful to me even when I was not faithful or doubted him at times. When I was out of a job for over a year, doubting he would provide for me and my family, he was faithful. That was a difficult trial, but he was faithful. I just had to wait, like Abraham and Sarah did. But I'm thankful I didn't have to wait 25 years like they did. He was faithful many times after that in providing jobs. He was faithful to work in my life, changing me from not wanting to speak in front of people to being where I am now. For he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it.
Amen.
Amen. So yes, I know that God is faithful now. God cannot change who he is. As I read earlier, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Sometimes we pray for something, and it doesn't happen. But we can know that God is faithful because he knows what's best for us. He has a better plan. We may not understand his plan, or we may not like it, but he has us in his hands. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. But God said no. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And then Paul wrote, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Can we be sure he will always be faithful, truthful, and worthy of our trust? Well, based on what I have read in the Old Testament about God's promises to Abraham and his descendants, and how I have seen his faithfulness in my life, I can be sure that God will always be faithful in the future, because God cannot change who he is. Well, what things in the future can we be sure that God will be faithful in? One thing for sure is that Jesus will come back again. John 14:1-3. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be." In Acts chapter 1, his apostles watched Jesus ascend into heaven. In verses 10 to 11, it says, "And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Well, that's what we have to look forward to. The place he has prepared for us in heaven, and he is coming back for us again. And we know it will happen because our God is faithful. We can trust him to do what he said he will do. He has proven himself to be faithful in the past, and he has proven himself to be faithful in the present. Faithfulness is what God is. That's his character. Without his faithfulness, we could not rely upon him. We could not trust him. We could not depend on him. Without his faithfulness, we would have no hope. Because of his faithfulness, we can reasonably trust God who is really there. It would be utterly unreasonable and irrational not to trust God because throughout the Bible, he has proved himself to be dependable. Throughout Israel history, in the Old Testament, God has made numerous promises to the many other prophets besides Abraham that have been fulfilled. The whole Bible bears witness that God has been, is now, and will always be truthful, faithful, and worthy of our trust. Because of his faithfulness, we know that he loves us. He cares for us. He protects us. He forgives us. He sanctifies us, makes us holy. He doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never reject us. We will never be put to shame. He will always be faithful to keep his promises, even if it seems impossible to us, even if we don't understand his plan, even if it takes a very long time, even from generation to generation. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us. And because of your faithfulness, we know that you love us. You care for us, and you will always keep your promises, even your promise to come back for us and to prepare a place for us. And because we believe and trust in your Son Jesus, what he did on the cross for us, he paid the price for our sins that we could not pay ourselves. He fully paid the price. He was the perfect sacrifice that you required, that we could not be. So thank you for who you are, always faithful, even when we are not, from generation to generation. In his name I pray. Amen.